You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
Welcome back to another episode, my friend, here on Finding Direction. This week, we're sitting down with Brittany Willis, and a little bit about Brittany. She is the host of a podcast. It's called Prestige to Pro. She's also a franchise owner of PJ's in the North Dallas, Texas area. So if you're up in that area, go slide and say hello to Brittany. And she's also a former corporate account manager for companies like Pepsi, Kraft Foods, a few companies you have definitely heard of. And on this episode, a few of the things we talk about is one of the big ones being imposter syndrome and how you can work through that if you feel like you're facing it. We talk about why you need to sometimes do the dirty work in your career and in your life, especially if you're looking for a new opportunity. And we also talk about what it looks like to actually franchise, right? Brittany breaks a little bit in and shares with all of us, what does it look like to franchise? Kind of what's that process go into? And she'll share some of the thoughts and experiences she's had doing it. So if you ever had an idea of what that would look like, you ever thought about it, she's definitely going to share some of the details on this episode. If you are new to the show, make sure you hit subscribe. If you are joining us every single week, welcome back. And without further ado, we are going to dive right into the conversation. Here we go. Brittany Willis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm pumped for us to dive in. And I figured where we could start is I would love to hear from you, you know, as you grew up. And I know I was reading a little bit of your background. You were in New Orleans, and then unfortunately Hurricane Katrina came, moved your family. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, as you grew up and you went through things in your younger years, did you have an idea of, you know, that sort of idea that, you know, some people grow up and they go, I know what I want to do for my life. And I just knew it from a young age. Like, did you have an idea when you grew up, like what you wanted to be, what you aspired to do? Yeah. or not really?
I actually did. However,
I love that.
However, my direction, you know, kind of steered off the course at the same time too.
Interesting.
You see what I did there, finding direction, you know? But anyhow.
Boom.
But yes, I mean, at a very young age, so I mean, I've been very enterprisal and just business has been my thing since I was probably like 12 or 13. You could ask my mother. I think Google, it might've been Yahoo, you know, I mean, you must have been Yahoo at the time, you know, but I remember, in, you know, I literally was like, I read an article about a female CEO and I was just beginning to get a feel. I was like, oh, you know, these type of things I find myself gravitating to. I was the kid who was like seven with a lemonade stand. Like I had a ridiculous affinity for Monopoly and pulverizing people. Like I just always loved
the operations
and the tactics, you know, that come with the business, the vocation rather of business.
Yeah.
So I did know, you know, I was, you know, obviously being a big part of being a business, you know, executive is, you know, it involves leadership. I always found myself gravitating toward leadership positions, not for the sake of being the boss or
you
know, telling people what to do, but just the vision, knowing that somebody has to chart the course and has to direct the path. So yeah, I definitely knew. And because I knew at a young age, I was able to determine for myself, okay, what are my next steps? You know, I quickly was like, okay, how do you do this? Okay, what are the best schools? Okay, the best schools for, oh, I should get an MBA. Oh, okay. I want to get a good MBA. What undergrad should I, you know, just kind of just doing the work. How do I achieve what I'm trying to do? So I was very intentional at a very young age with just knowing what interest I had from a professional standpoint.
I love it. And it sounds like you were extremely good at like reverse engineering in a sense.
Yes.
Right? You knew where you wanted to go and you found the steps. And one thing I would be curious to hear from you is sort of two ideas or thoughts is like, one, how did you stay so aligned and consistent? Because sometimes people say, oh, I want to do this with my life. And it's one thing to say it. It's a whole nother thing to execute on it and to like actually follow through on the plan that if you've created for yourself, following through on it. And another thing I'm curious is like, I think for some people, maybe you could be like, okay, I want to be a big business executive. I know that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
From the outside, I feel like that can almost sound intimidating, right? If you're growing up, you're 10, 12 years old, you go, I want to be a business executive. You know, for some people, they may be like, well, that's you know, you're going to have a lot of responsibility. It's going to be a big thing. And so I'm curious for you, like, how did you allow yourself to dream that big and kind of pursue that?
Yeah, good question. I credit it to my family and my parents. You know, I think it started with the level of confidence that they instilled in me. My parents were the quintessential, you know, you can do anything you set your mind to, and not in the cheesy way, but it was really clear. And I had examples. I had clear examples in my family of people wanting something and going after it. And I think so for me, that wasn't a far-fetched, it's kind of a 2 + 2 = 4. Okay. I have
you'd seen it happen already.
Yeah. Like the dream two, the plus two is putting in the work. You know, I literally just told one of my mentors the other day, you know, you can't complain about the results of the work you didn't put in. And I'm a big believer of that. You know what I mean? And so I think it just starts with confidence. I think that it's important. That's why confidence and instilling confidence in young people is so crucial, because it allows you to dream big and to have, and then when you dream big and you believe big, you have the confidence to start, you know, creating that path for yourself. And I was very disciplined. I mean, I'm telling you, it was very clear to me that, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm very sensitive to the fact that everyone has different circumstances.
Right.
You know, there are certain things that make achieving your dreams, going to a certain school, you know, it makes, you know, sometimes it's not accessible for everybody. So I'm going to be sensitive and leave space for that. But even, you know, even in that, myself and others, I've seen other people who have not been as advantaged and have not had levels of access, find that access. And within them, it starts with us. So that's what I would just really encourage anyone. If truly, if you have a vision and you can see it, and if it's keeping you up at night, don't necessarily worry about meeting the end goal. Focus on the step-by-step. And if you get the step-by-step, you're going to eventually meet some resemblance of the end goal.
Yeah. Love it. Heck yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more that it's like confidence is this, it's like this beautiful thing that if we don't have confidence, we get into the battle of you take 3 steps forward and 4 steps backward and 3 forward and 4 backwards, because we start self-sabotaging ourselves. Yeah. But if we can have the confidence, it's like when we take those 3 steps forward, rather than getting there and going, oh, like this feels, I don't know if I deserve this, and feeling confident, we get there and we go, hell yeah, I deserve this. Like, I should be here. And then that allows us to take 3 more steps forward.
It does. And I will say sometimes, I think, because even, you know, in my career, I've had we all know imposter syndrome. And I just told someone the other day that imposter syndrome is a lie. And I can say that because I have felt imposter syndrome. I don't even know how many times. I'll say eight times as I've, you know, climbed my career and I've done things that are seem crazy for my age or because I'm a woman, or a Black woman, you know, but I shake it off every time. And I remind myself that I'm worthy and that I'm prepared. And I remember why I'm confident when I just remember all of the experiences and the preparedness that I have. And I remember the fact that this might be new, but transferable skills are a really real thing, and they're very underutilized sometimes. I think we forget we have a whole life of experiences that precede any new experiences that we have. And it's just really important that we remember that. But I will tell you, a lot of my steps, you know, my climbs, my confidence has been shaky, you know. And I think the benefit is that I'm at my core, I'm very confident. At my core, I remember my values and my why, what I'm looking to do. And, you know, my knees will shake a little bit, but, you know, I'm still standing. But I do want to leave space for, imposter syndrome has haunted me. You know, every time and again, every time there's something that happens, I'm just like, did I deserve that? You know, am I truly ready? And then a couple of days later, I'm like, yeah, girl, you are.
I love it. And it's acknowledging it and moving forward anyway.
Yes. Oh,
go ahead. I see over there a little imposter, but we're still going.
That's it. Like, okay, you're cute. Nice to see you again. I'm gonna need you to get your bags and keep moving. Yeah. And that's natural. It's natural. I like to leave space for the real human feelings. As I talk to audiences and people, you know, I don't ever want to pump you up and leaving out the humanity in our experiences, there's going to be anxiety. I mean, there, you know, I'm a female, you know, franchise owner. Yeah, that's great. Woo, rah, rah, rah. No, I have days where I'm like, girl, what are you doing? This sucks today. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, I don't know how I'm gonna do X, you know, and just giving myself permission to feel that. That's not failure. And a lot of people, I think people feel like when you have the anxiety and you have the uncertainties or you have those lapses of confidence, you start to feel like a failure. You know, feeling like a failure, or I guess, or failing is giving way to that. But being human, it's a range of emotions, and we're never going to turn that off. And I, you know, I'm never going to tell somebody, you know, don't be scared. No, you're going to be. But how do we move out of that? And right. That's just my big saying is just keep moving, keep walking.
I love that.
Yesterday I was anxious. Today I'm cool. This is real. This is hot off the press. I'm cool today. I was anxious yesterday.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So if we go forward in your journey, then you grew up, you had this vision, I'm going to be a business executive. You knew what you wanted to do. And I could just imagine you being that like 9-year-old girl with like a clipboard at the lemonade stand. You're like, three things of lemonade coming up. Like, go, mom.
That's about
like,
right.
you were on it. And so I'm curious, as you eventually, you know, go to college, you get this MBA, and you start to take your first step into the quote unquote real world. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that process like for you?
Yeah, in the real world, I would say it was jarring, but it was very much like you look up and you do all this preparing, you know, and you're like, all right, I'm here. And it is funny, you know, and I'll tell you, know, it's obviously you do all that climbing just to now there's a new hill. You know, and I think I was very surprised at, you know, I was a neophyte, right? It was such a weird dichotomy to have done all this preparedness and to have, you know, prepared myself to be so unprepared, you know? And I think the biggest part about it, especially for those young in their career, is you've got to be a sponge. I was a complete sponge. You know, I think, you know, we have, you know, schools, if you choose to go to college, you know, there's schools and or whoever around you are pumping you up, right? You know, pumping you up, you're the best and the brightest of the future. Yep, you are. But we still don't know anything, you know, like we, you know, we're still at the beginning of something, of a vocation, of a career path, where you have so much to learn. And so for me, it was just being a sponge and ensuring no matter what room I was in, no matter what task I was given, that I always sought out to add value, because adding value is how you make real impact. Adding value is how you are memorable. And when, you know, the moments and the chances you're going to have at, you know, working and being visible to senior leadership or those making decisions for the impact of your career, those are going to be fleeting moments. But when you add value consistently, you'll make yourself very memorable, and your name will be mentioned in rooms when they're having those discussions about, you know, next steps and in open career pathing. And I think that just really benefited my career.
Yeah. So how were you becoming more valuable in the start of your career? Because I think sometimes I see can happen with, you know, our listeners.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go into the space and you go, okay, well, I'm still getting my feet wet. So what is the value that I have to add? That's a question that can be asked. So how did you find ways to like create your value and then add it to others?
Great question. I think that what we can't remember, even when we are new, wet behind the ears, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Two things. The person who hires you knows that. They know you've got to learn, but they also hired you for a reason, which is that there's a job to be done. And just in simply understanding that, I mean, at the most basic level, actually, I started my career in a management program. So my whole job for 18 months was to learn and to develop, right? Like that's what they wanted
that's
me
awesome.
To do. And it's important to just quickly understand what was I hired to do? And what are my managers and the organization's priorities? And when you understand the job you were hired to do, and you understand what your organization and your boss's priorities are, you sync those two, and you walk in tandem with those. And that's how you add value. Sometimes value is not. I'm gonna give you one definition of value. Value isn't just what you value. Valued in this definition I'm giving you is in the eye of the beholder. So one example is that if somebody asks you for an apple. Okay, they want an apple. Right? They want that apple. That's the value to them. But if you're on your way, la, la, and looking for an apple, and you're like, man, this peach looks juicy. I'm gonna give her this peach. Sure, you valued the peach, and then the peach is valuable. However, that is not what that person asked for. And that's the best kind of example I can give with how you give that value to your organization and your manager. Those are the two most important entities. And if they're asking for an apple, you better be maniacally focused on delivering just that. Now, your next job, if you do believe the peach is very valuable, okay, now you got to put on your persuasion cap. And after you deliver the apple, because that's what they wanted first, but now you have their trust and you have their attention to now potentially convince them as to why this peach is also valuable. And sorry I chose those examples, but I hope it's helpful with regards
honestly,
to
I was,
how you can identify.
It was, I think that was the most beautiful example I've ever heard.
Thank you.
It's so simple and so clear, right? And I love how you stated it. It's like, what are their priorities? And if you look at that, like what's important to them, what's important to get the job done, and then some of the ways you add value is what are the extra things I can do that I'm not being asked to do?
That's
and that's when you start to stand out, to add more of that value.
That's it right there. That's it.
Love it. So as you went and when you did this first management 18-month project, was that with Kraft?
It was. That was with Kraft Foods. So I interviewed with Kraft my senior year of college, and then I was accepted into the management program. And that was probably there's two points in my career that I would say were life-changing, and that I think was one of them, for sure. My university was not, I went to Vanderbilt University, and that was not, they were not, you know, Vandy isn't, even though it produces a lot of great business professionals, we're not known as an undergrad business school per se. We don't have major CPG, consumer packaged good organizations knocking down the door. So I was at a disadvantage for the career that I would inevitably have. And so it was a really invaluable opportunity for me to enter into a major CPG organization. It was a major opportunity for me to really be on a path and on a course to develop the skills, you know, to be able to take throughout my career. I mean, that's why I say it was truly life-changing. I would recommend to anyone, I think there still are leadership programs around, you know, I would absolutely plead with you to consider those because I mean, I would not be where I am today unequivocally if it was not for that management development program.
Amazing. And so how did you get connected with those people?
Yeah, there was a gentleman who worked at Kraft that knew me growing up. He worked in the New Orleans market, and that internship, you know, he's the one that kind of orchestrated that, you know.
Love
and
that.
I think, and actually, I'll give you an example about this one too. I was having a hard time getting the chance to get an internship because, again, Vanderbilt just was not, even though a great name, but it just was not the typical schools that these companies went to. So I went and did. Be careful about phrasing, but I went and did grunt work. I went and I did a retail role, and retail is there's nothing sexy about it. You know, you are literally in there meeting the truck. You're dragging pallets through the store. You're stocking shelves. But I was doing that for a Fortune 500 organization that I knew had more opportunity to come. I was getting my foot in the door, and I just really, you know, and there were some times I always joke where I could see my degree going out the window. I was just like, I'm not getting a degree to do this. And you're correct. You're doing it for the pieces to come, because once you're in, you know, you're in. And what it turned into was this 18-month development program where only 8 of us in the nation were selected. Like, okay, oh, not too bad. Yeah. So it was just, you know, me being very open and being scrappy. I'm going to talk about being scrappy. Being scrappy about, okay, I'm getting no's. I'm not getting what I want. But okay, what doors are cracked though? Okay, oh, that one's cracked. Let's go. You know, and that's really how that came to be. So I'm really thankful that that relationship and that opportunity presented itself. And I was also humble enough, frankly, to do the work, you know, that work doesn't require a college degree. You know, it doesn't.
Your ego to the side.
Exactly.
It's like, just look chill long, out
look
ego.
Long term. That's it. Looking, and you got to stay your eye on the prize. You know, I think that for young people, my biggest advice, like, we think so big. And I think that, you know, this is now 15 years ago almost, really. But I think even now we're in even more of a microwave society. And I think that we spend too much time looking at the highlight reels and looking at the trophy, you know, the moment that you're handed the Lombardi trophy. But it's like, there's so much that went in to that. People don't just get trophies, you know what I'm saying? Like, and we cannot be so fixated on wanting to live the glitz and the glam, if you will, that we forget there's a lot of hard work behind the scenes that comes into that. And so that I think we just remember that, and that keeps you humble.
Yeah. And when you think about it, we have, you know, for our listener, decades of life left.
Man, so, yes.
You know,
like, slow that breathe.
Yeah, right? You know, and give yourself some grace and say, okay, I may not have it all figured out right now, but if you take the slow and steady steps and still be moving forward, right? But you can be calculated, and those calculated moves can take time because you do have a lot of time to get there. And one thing that you said that I love and want to expand upon as well is that it's like, if you're listening to this right now and you have an idea of a company, you go, man, this would be the coolest company to work with. This, you know, this organization would be great, and I love this company, or this company could set me up for things in the future. Like, if you have an idea of the company or the industry that you would want to be in, if you can start asking yourself, how can I go do, we'll just call it for today's conversation, grunt work. Like, how can I do grunt work for that company? How can I go get my foot in the door?
Yeah.
And when you can get your foot in the door, I think one of the biggest differentiators is once your foot's in the door, if you can start building relationships with people,
right?
Now all of a sudden when an opportunity comes, they go, oh my God, this opportunity comes. And you know, Brittany and I were having that conversation the other day, and I know she was saying these are some of the things she wanted to do with their life. And we really like Brittany. And I mean, look at her. She's putting all, let's call Brittany. Let's see if she,
then
boom, your door's open. And so it's like, I think sometimes we can get stuck in our head and go, man, it's so impossible to work to these things. But it's like, if we're willing to put our ego aside, if we're willing to do some grunt work, if we're willing to do whatever it takes to get our foot in the door and be a little bit patient, like you can do a lot, right?
No, like seriously, I think that age, I don't know if it's a folk's tale, but the tortoise and the hare. I mean, that is a real life. When I was three, you know, going to bed, I don't think I realized that was the roadmap for life. But like, seriously, it's slow and steady, really. And I think I was reading an article probably several weeks ago that was talking about millennial burnout. Like, we're 30, you know, we're 30, and older millennials, you know, you know, we're in our early 30s and we're burned out, which seems a little like that's strange, right? You know, if you think about the longevity of a career, it's typically 40 years and you're 10 years in, why are you burnt out? And I think what you're talking about, and again, just we're having to adapt to a very, just a different work landscape. Like even our parents were able to leave work at work. The laptops weren't really a thing, you know?
Right.
And now almost everybody, or really we're living in a world where remote work is a norm. And, you know, and yes, you get to work from home, but your work is at home. And just, you know, how do you break that? And so it's going to take our generation a lot more intentionality to everything you're saying, and you're spot on, to ensure that we are pacing ourselves, you know. And I'm guilty of it too. You know, I'm guilty of it too. Actually, something that I've recently kind of like, all right, girl, like you're accomplishing a lot, but what's truly sustainable. And it's a marathon, you know, and a marathon. True. And the way you run in a marathon is very different than the way you want to run in a sprint. If you try to approach a marathon like a sprint, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. Good luck.
And so, that's my biggest advice, is just work and approach things in a sustainable way. You brought up a good point. We have decades left, you know, prayerfully,
decades.
You know, and it's just really important that we remember that, because I can tell you all, I've been burnt out one time. And I think I had just enough glimmer left that I pulled myself out. But burnout is truthfully a dangerous thing for many reasons, for mental health purposes, for health. It was actually two trips to the hospital that really caught my attention.
Wow.
And I was like, enough. Like, this is enough. I can't keep working this way. You know, my well-being is more important, you know. So that's another reason why pacing is so important.
Yeah. And I like how you said it's like, breathe. Like, listening to this right now, take a nice deep breath in, right? We got decades. Breathe. It's, you know, it's going to be okay. And so I don't know if this would be in a similar space in your story with these two hospital trips, but can you fill us in a little bit as far as, you know, you're doing stuff with Kraft, you're climbing the ladder, you're, you know, becoming very successful in your corporate organization. And at some point, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you decide to go get like a coffee certification, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was from the Specialty Coffee Association, right?
Yeah.
So at what point do you go, okay, I'm in corporate and, you know, I'm going to go get certified in coffee. Like, where did this, where did this seed come from?
Yeah. And so, yeah. And so what happened there? So I was, at that time I was with Keurig Dr. Pepper. So, okay. I was with
is that like the K cups, Keurig cups?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. So, K cups, the machines, you know, soda, all that stuff. And this is another piece of advice that I would have too. At the time of me getting SCA certified, I had no intentions on opening a coffee shop, by the way. I had no intentions of doing that. It was me taking advantage of every opportunity that was put in front of me. I was like, this, it was available to me. And I said, and actually I love coffee. Like, I've loved coffee in a serious way for a long time. So I was like, okay, again, my employer is offering this opportunity. Why would I turn this down? And that's the biggest advice I have for you. You never know where your life is going to go. I had no intention of becoming an entrepreneur. I had no intention of opening a coffee shop at the time, but I was like, why say no? I don't have a reason to say no. And it was a really, it was a game changer for my level of knowledge and understanding of coffee. Cause I think if I didn't have that understanding that I gained in that certification, I wouldn't have felt as comfortable leaning into going into business within the coffee industry.
Yeah.
It was my understanding of coffee at the commodity level. And really understanding it that as a business that led me to go, you know what? Again, nothing is foolproof. Do not get me wrong. But this industry is pretty dangerous. People love their coffee, you know, and that's just really what it came down to. So that's how that worked out. It was an opportunity at work that I took advantage of, and it turned out to be, I mean, tenfold for me, you know, a couple of years later.
Right. And one of the things you mentioned earlier is you said there's been two moments in your life where you felt like you really had some life-changing things that happened. Mm-hmm. The first one you said was Kraft. So kind of getting that opportunity with them. And I'm curious, what was the second one?
Oh, it was definitely opening my business. Definitely opening my business. Quite literally life-changing. Especially during a pandemic. Yeah, very, very, very much so.
What was the biggest lesson that you've learned from like going into a franchise owner? And I'm curious, is it something that you would recommend to other people?
Absolutely. And I say that with an asterisk, you know, there's, you know, you definitely want to make sure.
Do your research.
You know, there's a lot, of course, do your research. You know, if you as the owner, you are one of the most important assets of the company. Nothing runs without you and you set the temperature. And so as a franchise owner, I tell people all the time, it's a franchise, but it doesn't mean it's not still somewhat startup-esque. Right. And so you have to be prepared to build something essentially from the ground up. You have a blueprint, you know, you have support, but I was actually pretty shocked at how, again, just how startup-y it felt. Like, this was a brand new, like, sure, I had the blueprint, but baby, once day one opened, that was me and everybody. I had 15 people looking at me and I'm looking at them, you know?
Yeah.
So I would absolutely recommend it, but you have to be prepared in some sense to be an operator, and being an operator has many meanings, and I'm happy to go into that. But, you know, what it was like, cause that was your first question, right? Like, what was that? You know, the reason why I say it was a life-changing experience is because, the word I'm gonna say is exposed, just the level of exposure. That I have, you know, I have a business that's open 7 days a week. That's open, let me think, 14 hours a day. And then at the end of the day, and again, I have a career, you know, I have other things that I'm doing. This is, you know, actually, you know, franchising is something that I want to be as an arm, you know, of my company. Right.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I feel exposed in the fact that I'm a small business owner. Right. And, you know, when you're a small business owner, you don't always benefit, or you typically don't benefit from the scale of being in major organizations. So major factors like, a pandemic, you know, or, hiring right now is really hard, as everyone is, you know, was aware. And, you know, so there's supply chain delays. There's inflation. The cost of oil tripled. All those things don't just impact my business. They impact my life. They impact my husband. They impact our goals and our dreams. And I was pretty shocked by that. And, you know, it dominates my days. It dominates my thoughts. When I talked about being scared and being anxious, I'm often that way because of how exposed I feel. But I'm thankful that I have, obviously, you know, a very strong business background and MBA. So these are things I'm able to kind of just quickly, you know, kind of move with and things like that. But it doesn't mean it's not it's not energy and it's not exhausting. And so I've just been trying to keep up with the whirlwind of it since it happened. And also, you know, a big part of, you know, my brand as well as I've become very passionate about helping others achieve their goals. I'm actually, you know, to your franchise question, I'm a big advocate for franchising. I'm a big advocate because I think it makes entrepreneurship accessible in a way that kind of helps mitigate the uncertainty of, okay, where do I go? Where do I source? How do I start? Right. And a lot of what I strive to do is give people the tools and the knowledge from my Fortune 500, you know, experiences to close those gaps so they can combine be successful it. In their endeavors. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. I was reading something the other day, and one of the ways people broke down like the franchise model in itself is it's like you're buying a system. Like if you go into business, you can create your system, and that's like, you know, what you create the product, the system, the services, or franchises, you're buying somebody else's system. Like you said, the blueprint, but then obviously it takes, you know, you got to put massive work in to get the system running. So,
yeah. And I think that's what people, it's as I listen to some other franchise owners sometimes, is I'm like, oh, it's clear they just thought they were just going to, they were going to buy it and then walk away. And I'm like, no, to your point, like it's a system, you know, it's, they told me what registers to buy, but I still have to find a way to go into the doors. I still have to hire the right people to use those registers. I still have to train them. I still have to make sure, you know, we have the right product when we need it, that it's, you know, that it's food safe, that it's unexpired. Yeah. Oh my God, the list goes on. So like, those are the pieces.
So many things.
Those are the pieces that you got to be prepared for. And again, that's just food related for franchise. Right. But yeah, it's still a lot of work, but it makes it a bit more palatable. Yeah.
So cool. Well, love it. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for sharing your story. I just love your energy. You just got an awesome sort of aura. So I've really enjoyed hanging out with you. And I'm curious if people want to stick around, hang out with you more, see what you're up to, dive into your world. What's the best place for them to hang out with you and find you?
Yes, I have two places. Okay. So my Instagram is @_BrittanyWillis, BrittanyWillis. And I also have my own podcast as well called Protege to Pro, where my goal is to arm professionals and entrepreneurs with Fortune 500 knowledge. So if you're, you know, if you are focused on growing your career, if you're focused on a side hustle, if you're focused on transitioning or doing it, you know, in your entrepreneurial, you know, thing, I have content and experience and guests that speak on a wealth of topics that can help fortify you in each of those spaces from a professional standpoint. So go over it and listen to it if any of that interests you.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. Absolutely. Everybody go check it out. Go hang out with Brittany some more. And last question I have for you is a question we ask to all of our guests, because we want to help people find direction here, but we really believe in doing it through action. And so I'm curious for you, what is one thing you think someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I think finding direction, you need clarity of mind. So I think is whatever this means for you, but remove the noise, be intentional, put the phone down, you know, turn the TV off, close a laptop. For me, it's putting on candles with some tea, but remove the noise for yourself, because you can't be in tune with your deepest thoughts and really think clearly when there's a bunch of noise. And our world nowadays is a lot of noise in it. So give yourself the best foundation to really kind of dig in deep with yourself and check in with yourself. And the more that you give yourself those moments, I give myself 5 minutes a day, I think you're going to help yourself find direction and stay on that course. Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Love it, love it. Well, thank you for sharing, Brittany. I appreciate it.
This was so fun. Thanks, Stu.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. I want you to give yourself a round of applause, give yourself a pat on the back, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And abso-frickin-lutely, that is something to celebrate. So make sure you celebrate yourself this week. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Brittany. I hope you got some value. And as we spoke about through the episode, make sure, if you didn't on the episode, that you go breathe, all right? Breathe. You got some decades left of your life to figure this thing out called life. And if you want to continue to hang out with us, don't feel like you need to go anywhere. I have another episode coming up right after this, just me pouring directly into you. So if you want to hang out, Don't feel like you need to go anywhere. If you enjoyed this episode, if you'd leave us a review on iTunes, we'd be extremely grateful. And again, if you want to continue this conversation and keep diving into your purpose, your life, stick around, and another episode is going to come up right after this.